On AM,
FM
and digital.
Up to the minute news and information throughout the day.
Online at bbc.co.uk/Radio Wales.
This is BBC Radio Wales.
Lots to come then. Let's start with the news. New information about the controversy surrounding child abuse allegations in Pembrokeshire has been passed to the police. The Welsh Government announced that new material had been given to officers as a row over child protection failings deepened. Here's our Welsh Affairs editor, Vaughan Roderick.
The government gave no details of what the information passed to the police involved, but the announcement came following a meeting between ministers and the new leader of Pembrokeshire Council, Jamie Adams. Councillor Adams backed his top officials after they were criticised for their handling of the allegations that children were locked in padded timeout rooms at Pembrokeshire schools and that a teacher had tied a pupil's hands behind his back. Ministers have given the council a final warning after raising questions about how many schools have used the timeout rooms, warning that they are ready to intervene to ensure that children's safety is paramount in Pembrokeshire's schools.
Yesterday, ministers met with the new leader of Pembrokeshire Council, Jamie Adams. This follows allegations that children were locked in padded timeout rooms in Pembrokeshire schools. Mike Williams is the Plaid Cymru County Councillor for Tenby North. He's also a member of the Safeguarding Accountability and Improvement Board, which was set up in the wake of the critical reports into child safeguarding in Pembrokeshire. And he's seen the timeout room at the Nayland Pupil Referral Unit, which a whistleblower alleged in 2009 was being used to lock up children.
We were invited by His Honour Judge Graham Jones, who's leading the ministerial board, to make an appointment and go down and visit the PRU to see the room. And I have to admit that when I went in there, I was shocked, A, by the facilities that were offered there to youngsters that need specialist help, and by this room, which was 8 foot by 4 foot, had padded walls, ceiling and floors, and no natural light, no interior light switch that I could see, and I was told that there was no interior handle on the door. When we went to see it, the door had been removed. But the thought of young children being incarcerated in this room is quite frankly horrifying.
And the allegation is that this room's been used for meeting out punishment?
Yes, it was supposed to be a kind of referral room where youngsters were put if they were very agitated. But quite frankly, you don't treat young people like that in this day and age. You certainly don't incarcerate them in a restricted space like this without an adult presence. But this is apparently what was done in this room. And that is a total abuse of their basic human rights. But the staff do a very good job in difficult circumstances, but they're obviously not getting the central support that they deserved.
Another claim surrounds the treatment of a six-year-old boy, Scott Lee, who had his hands tied behind his back by a teacher. Michael Lee is Scott's father and whose case was only revealed when he spoke to the national press about it.
Well, I went to school, took him to school as normal, and he came out and turned around and said that a teacher tied him up. I asked him if it was true, and some other child came out of it then. And I went over to school to talk to the teacher and she admitted it, saying, yeah, I did it. I said, well, why'd you tie him up? Oh, because he'd been hitting a child. I said, well, yeah. But I did warn him first. I said, well, that's not on. So I went over to the headmistress. I told her. She was absolutely gobsmacked. And they put procedures in place to act upon it. It doesn't matter whether a child's being naughty or not. You know, you don't tie a child's hands up, not in any manner. Not even for a second. You know, the children learn to play hand cops and robbers. You know, every child has to have a pair of handcuffs. You know, but to actually have an adult tie your child up, and even whether it's been 5 seconds, whether it's been 5 minutes, you just don't do it.
Well, we're joined now by Pembrokeshire Council Leader Jamie Adams. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are grateful to you for answering these questions here this morning. Let's start with that case, shall we, Scott Lee, because it's a case that seems to sum up many of the issues here. Why did it take the council so long to act, or even to let anyone know what was going on? Because the ministerial board weren't notified until the night before the story went to the national press. The director of education didn't step in until the board urged him to do so 5 days later. Why did it take so long?
Well, investigations are continuing into that series of events, Ollie. Until that is completely certain, I feel it would be inappropriate for me to comment upon that at this stage. I do apologise for that. You may feel that I'm avoiding the issue, but I think it is important for clarity and due process to be followed in that case.
But do we take it from that then that you accept that things weren't done properly?
You can take it from that that I have concerns. I would never advocate any action that resulted in a child being tied up. I certainly would not. And I need to get to the bottom of the situation, to follow the process through in the proper manner, and only upon that can appropriate action be taken.
And might that action include action against the Director of Education, who didn't step in this case until he was urged to do so by the Ministerial Board 5 days later?
As I've said, I will look at all the evidence, and we will ensure that the persons who have been involved in this process are fully accountable for their actions.
And if that includes the Director of Education?
I think I've given you an answer on that.
Do you accept now, and are you confident that your officers accept that there is a problem? Because that's not always been the case, has it? Last August, after the report, which the Children's Commissioner described as deeply disturbing, your predecessor, John Davis, attempted to play it down here on BBC Radio Wales. The government says all indications are that senior officers don't see the need to change the authorities' approach to safeguarding. What do you think?
What I would say is that there is an acceptance that the procedures and policies that we had were not sufficiently robust to ensure a framework which allowed the safeguarding agenda to be held in confidence. We've undertaken a great deal of work in that regard, from senior officers to frontline staff. That work is ongoing. I've described it as a journey. We are certainly nowhere near the end of that journey. I understand that. However, I think that yesterday I was able to give the minister some assurance about the structures that we now have in place. And his challenge to me, which was clear, unequivocal, and I accept that challenge, is to ensure that those procedures, which were described as good, are now firmly embedded in the work of the authority on the safeguarding agenda.
Can you complete that journey with the existing team that you've got? Because I appreciate that you've only been in post since May. You were deputy leader in the previous council, but you've only been leader since May. Can you do that job with those officers who are currently in post, whose reputation has been sullied by this whole episode?
I think that there's been a clear indication in the last report we had, which was in December from the Wales Audit Office, that there needed to be a shift in emphasis with regards to scrutiny of the council as a whole. I'm very clear about methods that I wish to employ to undertake that scrutiny. And I believe with that critical support and scrutiny, we are able to move this agenda forward.
Okay. Would you be able to do so honestly? I just want your view of the exchanges that took place over the existence of these rooms, and whatever they were, and however you want to describe them. We heard an account there at the start. The one came to light at the referral unit in Nayland, and then the authority issued a statement which said that no other school in the county has a similarly used facility. Then the board went on to find three rooms at just one primary school in Pembroke Dock, subsequently learned that there are many, many more. A further 18 came to light just 3 weeks ago. What was going on there? Was that a cover-up, or did senior officers and did those at the council not actually know what was going on in the schools?
I think we have to be careful about the descriptions we use for rooms. The 18 rooms you've referred to have been looked at. In fact, we have, as Councillor Michael Williams said, he was a member of the Safeguarding Accountability and Improvement Board, and indeed we have a meeting of that this afternoon. There will be a report from the Director of Social Services based upon his visits to these 18, I would call them situations, because they are not all rooms.
Okay, I don't really want to get into the semantics of what these rooms are. What I'm looking is at what's on the record from February, when the authority issued the statement that said no other school in the county has a similarly used facility. Then it turns out that this school in Pembroke Dock has three windowless rooms, which, according to records kept by the school, in relation to the use of these rooms, children were routinely locked. So in that case alone, regardless of the other 18 rooms there, either initially there was an attempt to mislead, or a statement was made without the knowledge of what was actually going on in schools in the county. Which was it?
There was no attempt to mislead as far as I can ascertain. The rooms in question are subject to a police investigation, as you'll be aware. And they are situated in an autism unit.
Is it fair to surmise, though, when we look at what happened, again, with those two cases there, is it fair to surmise that people on the authority, in fact, all those on the authority, didn't know what was going on in schools?
I think it's inappropriate to comment too closely with regard to the case you speak about.
Okay.
Because, as I have mentioned...
Did you know?
There is an ongoing police investigation.
Did you know?
There is a police investigation. I don't think it's appropriate for any comments to be made upon that situation.
What do you know now? When was a child last locked in a timeout room in Pembrokeshire?
As far as I have gained evidence, there has been no situation in which a child is placed in that situation since 2009. I have extensively conducted interviews with many officers and further within the council, and that is the position that I am able to ascertain. I have not, further to that, I have not been presented with any evidence from anyone outside the council that any such action has been taken since that time either.
You've got until the 22nd of June, haven't you? A week tomorrow. This is the deadline. What are you going to do in that time? What can you do in a week short of sacking somebody?
I have a letter, as you're aware, from the minister, which does indeed give that deadline of Friday afternoon next week. There are an awful lot of issues raised in the letter, many of which refer to historic situations. I will reply to the letter as part of the formal process. I will include evidence to support my reply. And I am a little concerned at the fact that we have to communicate through the lines of a public forum.
You had a meeting yesterday, didn't you?
I did. However, that meeting was a long-standing meeting, and I was a little, as I've said on record, perplexed that the minister's letter preceded that meeting, because I thought it was a good opportunity to present him with evidence which may have answered some of his questions. However, it is a formal process. I accept that, and I will reply in the same regard.
Okay.
I think one important point to make is that the backdrop to all this is that we have around 2,500 people working with children and young people on an almost daily basis. And, you know, whilst all this is going on around them, we have to be sure that the day job is undertaken. That of correct decisions, of decisions that are based on outcomes for children. And it's a very difficult environment. And I must pay tribute to the staff of the authority who, despite everything that's going on around them, the constant spotlight and scrutiny that they're under, the frontline staff still get on.
Of course, a number of people have made the very same point that the frontline things are going well, but the question remains over the leadership that they're getting. Do I take it that there won't be any dismissals, won't be any changes to the team before next Friday?
I'm confident that the staff that we have in place, which have undertaken a great deal of work with regard to ensuring that we have robust structures in place to ensure that children are safe in this county, are the staff to take that forward.
Okay, in terms of what the alternative might be and the possibility of direct intervention, there may be an argument that that's what you need. Would it help you as a new council leader to have a team come in from outside to clear it all up once and for all to ensure that things are robust?
I think that we've worked, and you, as you've intimated, I've been leader for 3 weeks. During that time, I felt I've worked very proactively with the ministers, with the Pembrokeshire Ministers Board. I've been a little concerned that maybe the nature of that work has not been conveyed to the minister. I've made that that point to the ministerial board because I think that we have developed a good working relationship. I have arranged a meeting of the board, my cabinet, and senior officers of the council, which will take place towards the end of the month. I would have liked to have had it sooner, but the board were not available.
Thank you.
That's an opportunity for cards on the table, and you know, let's get this agenda moving in the direction that everybody buys into.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. We do appreciate you answering those questions which you felt able to answer, and for joining us this morning. That's the leader of Pembrokeshire Council, Jamie Adams, taking us up to 23 minutes now past 8 o'clock. You're listening to BBC Radio Wales.